Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Thriving Out of Necessity, Medical Music Therapy on the Pediatric Unit During COVID-19, and features Kelly Coward in an interview with Erin Sheena.
Hello, I am Erin Sheena, and I am the editorial assistant of the Imagine magazine. I'd like to welcome Callie Cowart. Thank you for joining me today on the Imagine podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here talking with you today.
Of course. So over the past year or so, the COVID-19 global pandemic has required us to be flexible and kind of adjust how we work with young children and their families. In this year's Imagine podcast series, we'd like to explore how your work with young children and their families has directly or indirectly changed as a result of the pandemic, and talk about what you've learned and the experiences that you've had. So to do that, we've got 10 questions that we've prepared for you. So the first one is, where do you work and what's your role?
I work as a full-time board-certified music therapist at Sutter Health's California Pacific Medical Center in San Francisco, California. I currently work on 3 units at CPMC, our acute care of the elderly unit, working with older adults with various types of dementia, our coming home hospice house for adults on hospice care, and our pediatrics and pediatric ICU units for children who are either coming on site to receive outpatient chemotherapy treatment or are hospitalized for various reasons on our units.
You sound busy.
Yes. Lots of places to go and people to see.
So what type of services do you offer to young children and to their families?
So at CPMC, we offer young children opportunities for both active and receptive music interventions, whether this be instrument play, instrument learning, music improvisation, progressive muscle relaxations. I mean, you know, the list could go on forever. We also offer siblings and parents support to help with emotional processing and coping with the patient's hospitalization and diagnosis. And I was actually in the process of creating a music therapy support group for siblings, and a neonatal ICU parent ukulele group was also in the works before the pandemic. But as you could guess, those were both put on hold for safety until we could get the clearance and resources to do this virtually.
Yeah, absolutely. Those sound exciting. So how have the services that you are still providing changed due to the global pandemic?
Well, once we realized the seriousness and severity of COVID-19, we cut down in-person sessions as much as possible. But thankfully, the hospital recognized the importance of having an on-site music therapist for patients and their families. So in following the hospital's updated protocols, which aligned with the CDC's recommendations, we've been able to safely provide in-person sessions that have shifted primarily to active music making and instrument learning and recorded music rather than live singing. That way we can reduce the droplet and airborne emissions from both staff and families. And we're now approaching the year mark for San Francisco's shelter in place order. And over the course of this year, I've noticed a major shift in needs for patients and their family members. There's been a really big increase in chronic stress, which can manifest in so many ways. We're seeing patients and families who are resilient, but we're also seeing almost a sense of resignation with daily life or hypervigilance as a result of this chronic stress. And because of this, I focused heavily on the needs of the family unit in addition to the individual needs of each family member. Mm-hmm. And I provided more resources for prolonged and chronic stress than ever before.
Wow. So some of that family-centered care.
Absolutely.
Wow. So what kind of adjustments have children and their families had to make due to the changes in service provision?
Yeah, I mean, an adjustment that we all had to make was learning how to work with the technology that we suddenly had to use. And initially, the only video platforms that were approved by the hospital administration weren't the mainstream programs that we use now. So it definitely took some patience on both ends during that transition at the start of the pandemic, just to get things rolling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think that was an adjustment for all of us.
Yeah. Some people are still making that adjustment too. It's a long and winding road.
Yes. Well, speaking of that, what have been the biggest challenges for you and for your patients and families?
I think probably the hardest adjustment for families has been the hospital's updated visitor policy. Because COVID can be transmitted so easily, the hospital administration implemented some unfortunate but definitely necessary changes to our visitor policies to help reduce the foot traffic coming in and out of the hospital. So initially, the visitor policy only allowed one parent or caregiver at a time, but now two parents or caregivers are allowed on site during the day, but only one can stay overnight. Mm-hmm. And this be especially stressful for families who live farther away and have to commute to and from the hospital to be there to support the patient and the other caregiver, who's of course going through a lot of stresses too. And the visitor policy also means that patient siblings under the age of 18 are no longer allowed to accompany the patient on any procedures or visit them during extended hospitalizations, which is especially stressful for single parents who have other kids at home. It's also caused some distress with some of our patients, especially those who are given chronic diagnoses like cancer, and the stresses of how and when to have the conversation surrounding their new diagnosis with their siblings not only affects the patients, but the sibling relationship too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's even to this day, we're still really struggling with and having to keep an eye on more than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, coming back to that family-centered care and how to integrate everybody when contact is so limited.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are some of the benefits that you've observed through your services and your care?
Yeah, I have to say, I love this question because I feel like when we think of the pandemic, we think of all the sorrow and loss and the hardships, but it's so important to focus on the positives too. And one of the biggest benefits that I've seen is stronger family units. Families who come to the hospital feeling scared and broken often leave feeling hopeful and more united after experiencing a music therapy session and taking advantage of the resources that are given to them. And of course, utilizing telehealth also helps them feel more connected with their loved ones, like their siblings who aren't able to come directly to the hospital. And also having in-person sessions where appropriate has given children a relatively normal arena to explore and grow in their creativity, musical abilities, and emotional expression, which has been particularly helpful during shelter in place when so many children are missing out on opportunities to discover new outlets outside of the home. You know, we're so confined to these spaces. So giving them new opportunities is one of the fun things about this.
Yeah, and some of that kind of developmentally appropriate interaction and exploration.
Absolutely, that we know is so important and valuable to young children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds like you've really been focusing on that resilience factor that you talked about earlier.
Yeah, of course.
Well, now that we've kind of talked about where we are and how telepractice has impacted services right now, how do you see telepractice changing in the future of service provision, even after the pandemic?
Right. I mean, once the pandemic started, I know so many MTBCs were scrambling to find the best resources and interventions that could be used during the shelter in place. And we had to find existing web platforms and programs and adapt our services to fit these resources. And I hope that going forward, MTBCs can work with app creators and web designers to create a platform that meets the needs of patients and clients without having to adapt to the limitations of these existing materials. I know telepractice has its frustrations and inconsistencies, but I really do hope that it will continue to be used in a post-pandemic world simply because it increases access to so many people who otherwise wouldn't receive these resources.
Mm-hmm.
During the pandemic, innovation and creativity have thrived out of necessity. And now we can take these resources that have been created and expand our outreach, creativity, and impact even from a distance. You know, it's hard to say exactly how it will change, but I'm really excited to see the growth and impact it makes as it continues to be used.
Yeah, I think the momentum that we've gained can only keep going at this point.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. So what are your hopes for the future of service delivery?
So personally, in my work, I hope to continue to provide hybrid sessions to patients and families. You know, I'm so grateful to be on site providing in-person sessions and video call sessions where they otherwise wouldn't experience the benefits of music therapy services. And in a post-pandemic world, I'd love to be able to return to in-person music therapy support groups for both parents and siblings. But until then, we'll stick with our fun telehealth opportunities.
Absolutely. Have there been any resources that have been especially helpful for you over the last year or so?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. One of the most helpful resources I've used is called TechNook. I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but it's an online resource for all things music therapy and technology. So it's created by music therapists for music therapists in a telehealth-centered world. And they really make technology a lot less intimidating with tutorials, practice guides, product suggestions. Anything you can think of, there's an answer there. So definitely check out their website or Instagram account for some telehealth inspiration if you haven't already.
Wow, sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it's really amazing and it's inspiring and it's keeping me going right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of that, can you offer any words of encouragement for our listeners?
Yeah. For my MTBC veterans, you can do this. I know it's not the format that we're used to, and it's been a long road figuring out how to make distance sessions work, but you were made to adapt to whatever comes your way. So don't be afraid to reach out to your peers for guidance and emotional support. This is definitely a time to lean on each other. To you music therapy students and interns, is a crucial evolution of music therapy practice. So soak in as many resources and ideas as you possibly can in your time as a student or intern. And once you're done learning, you're not done learning. So keep going. And we can't wait to welcome you to the profession and learn from your innovation and all the things that you've learned during this time. And to any parents listening, we're here for you. We're here for your children and your family. I so admire the work that parents have put in for themselves and their families during this time. So don't forget to celebrate the small victories because they matter.
They do. They do indeed. Well, Callie, thank you so much for sharing your insights. Keep up the good work and we'll talk with you soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Erin.
Thanks for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2021.